إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session since the start of Ramadan. In the first session, we talked about the importance of the remembrance of Allah, and based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Yani, remember me and I will remember you, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ, and be thankful to me and do not be ungrateful. And in that first session, yani, we discussed the importance of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it is necessary that a person be engaged in the remembrance of Allah in order for them to have a chance to be thankful to Allah. And that if a person is thankful to Allah, then this may be the motivation for them to worship Allah in the best manner, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith as sahih, Allahumma A'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help me, assist me, aid me in remembering you, being grateful to you and worshipping you in the best manner. Last week, we continued to talk about the remembrance of Allah, primarily based upon the final hadith in Jami' Ulum al-Hikm by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, the hadith in which he mentions the hadith of Abdullah ibn Bushr, naam? I don't know. I don't understand what you're signaling. Just tell me. The tone? Echo? It's okay. Sorry. No problem. Naam. In that hadith, it is reported that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Inna shara'i al-Islam قَدْ كَثُرَتْ عَلَيَّ. Yani, the legislated matters in Islam, the laws of Islam have become plentiful, so many for me. So give me something, yani, that I can hold, that we can hold tight to, that will be comprehensive. Yani, a deed, an action, something that and it will be sufficient. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him, لَا يَزَالُ, yani, that your tongue, yani, لا يزال, continue to be engaged in the remembrance of Allah, yani, to be moistened with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person should be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And this hadith, yani, with the wording that Ibn Rajab mentions it, is a hadith, that wording came from the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and he said it's also narrated by Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Ibn Hibban in his Sahih. And in another narration of the hadith, on the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said that the last thing that I left the Prophet ﷺ with, or that last thing that I heard from him, آخر ما فرقتُ عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عنه, the last thing that I heard from the Prophet ﷺ is that when I asked him, يعني, to tell me something, يعني, I asked him what will be the best, يعني خير وأقرب إلى الله, that the deeds, يعني, which will be best and the nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, أَنْ تَمُوتَ وَلِسَانُكَ رَتْبٌ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that a person should die while their tongue is moist, and he constantly, consistently, frequently engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, Ibn Rajab mentions, فَصُّ فِي وَظَائِفِ الذِّكْرُ وَالْمُوَظَّفَ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَاللَّيْلَةِ, يعني the duties of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has legislated for the believers in the day and in the night, yani throughout the day and the night. And in summary, we mentioned last week from what we read, actually we didn't read a lot of what he said last week, Wallahu musta'an. I realize that now that we didn't read a lot of it. But in any case, the summary of what he said it is well known, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon the Muslims to remember him, to be engaged in the remembrance of Allah in the day and the night, yani 5 times a day by establishing the 5 obligatory prayers in their time. And then he said, and Allah has also legislated, in addition, along with these 5 obligatory prayers, another type of remembrance that is extra, nafila, yani to remember Allah in addition, above and beyond the obligatory remembrance in the 5 prayers a day. And he said that this type of dhikr, nafila, is of 2 types. The first type is from the same type as the obligatory prayers, meaning that it is a type of salat, but it's not obligatory, it's nafila, voluntary prayers. And the second type is different than prayer, it is yani being engaged in dhikr on the tongue. Yani of course the origin of it is in the heart, but that a person is engaged in the remembrance of Allah with their tongue outside of the salat. So that the first thing is that the remembrance of Allah is established first and foremost by a person fulfilling the 5 obligatory prayers in the day and the night in their times. Yani this is the most important manner in which a person will be engaged in the remembrance of Allah, by fulfilling those 5 prayers, yani performing those 5 obligatory prayers in the day and the night in their times. In addition to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also legislated for the believers that they remember Him in another manner that is voluntary, it's not obligatory, and that is divided into 2 types. One is a type of salat, and the other type is not a salat, but it's dhikr on the tongue. As far as the first type, the salat, the Shaykh, he mentions that it is 2 types. Yani the voluntary dhikr that's from salat, from the same yani category as salat, is the prayers that are performed along with the 5 obligatory prayers in the day. The prayers that are performed along with them, either before them, or after them, or before and after them. And we talked about the examples of this last week, so we'll not mention it again today. And then he said, yani the other type of prayer that's voluntary, that is legislated for the remembrance of Allah, is a prayer that's not connected to the 5 obligatory prayers. That's completely separate from them. And he mentioned 3 different yani times of engaging in voluntary prayer that are established, or that are intended to establish the remembrance of Allah. The first of them is the prayers that he legislated in the 2 times. The 2 lengthy times in which there's no obligatory prayer, that is from Isha until Fajr, and from Fajr until Dhuhr. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. From Isha until Fajr, there's a long period of time, there's no obligatory prayer in between these 2 prayers. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated Salatul Witr and Salatul Qiyam. Salatul Witr and Salatul Qiyam. The second time is the time from Fajr until Dhuhr, in which there's a long period of time, there's no prayer in between them, no obligatory prayer. Allah has legislated Salatul Duha. And the time for these prayers are from, yani, the first period of time is from after Isha up until Fajr. A person can pray the Salatul Witr any time from after Isha until Fajr. It is preferable to pray it in the end of the night as the last prayer, but it's permissible, it's possible that a person might pray it, if, especially if they don't think they're going to wake up, they can pray it after Isha before they sleep. And in any case, the time is from after Isha until Fajr, and the time for Salatul Duha is from after sunrise until Dhuhr. Yani, a little after sunrise until a little before Dhuhr. And then he mentions a 3rd time, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us in that which we have been encouraged from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the salat that's immediately after the declining of the sun, zawal. Yani immediately after the zawal. And there are some hadith in which it's authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, إِنَّهَا سَاعَةٌ تُفْتَحُ فِيهَا أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ أُحِبُّ أَنْ يَسْعَدَ لِي فِيهَا عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. Yani that this is a time immediately after the zawal, yani that the doors of the heavens are opened, and I love that some righteous deed be raised up for me in that time. And there's some discussion and concerning this. We talked about it a little bit last week. This hadith, by the way, is reported by Al-Tirmidhi and others. Some of the scholars said that this is an independent, separate salat that is not the yani four rakah before dhuhr. And some said it is the four rakah before dhuhr. And from amongst those who said it's not, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said that these هذه الأربعة صلاة مستقلة. Now these four rakah that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray immediately after the zawal is a completely independent prayer, and he has some discussion about it, which we don't have time to look at this time. These are three times in which prayer is performed. Yani voluntary prayers are performed between Isha and Fajr, between Fajr and Dhuhr, and immediately after the Zawal. After this, the Shaykh, he mentions the second type of dhikr that is nafila, that is voluntary, supererogatory, extra, above and beyond the obligatory dhikr of the five daily prayers. And he said that it is a dhikr bil lisan, yani mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the tongue, فَمَشْرُوعَ فِي جَمِيعَ الْأَوْقَاتِ. And this is legislated at all times, although sometimes are more important, are more emphasized than others. We mentioned this last week also, and we said that this type of dhikr also is divided into a number of divisions. The first of them is the dhikr that's connected to the five obligatory prayers. Yani just like there are voluntary salat connected to the five obligatory prayers, so likewise there's also dhikr connected to the five obligatory prayers. And he said that this dhikr should be performed aqiba kulli salatin minha miyata marra. Immediately after the performance of the five obligatory prayers, this dhikr should be engaged in at-tasbih, at-tahmid, at-takbir, at-tahleel. And it's reported in the sahih hadith reported by al-imam Muslim, rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever makes tasbih, yani saying subhanallah, declaring Allah to be free from imperfections, at the end, fi dubri kulli salat, 33 times, and alhamdulillah, 33 times, and Allahu Akbar, 33 times, then this makes 99, and the completion of 100 is by saying, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahu mulk wa lahu alhamdu huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And in this hadith, and there are a number of yani hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this dhikr that's connected to the five obligatory prayers. In this particular hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim, he said, whoever does this, غُفِرَتْ خَطَايَاهُ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مِثْلَ زَبَدِ الْبَحْرِ, that that person's sins would be forgiven even if they were the like of the foam of the sea. Yani if their sins were so many like the foam of the sea, they would be forgiven if they yani performed this dhikr, yani after the five obligatory prayers, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, 33 times each, and la ilaha illallah to the end, as 100. After this, Shaykh al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he says, and it is mustahab also that there is a dhikr, yani praising Allah, remembering Allah on the tongue, in addition to the dhikr that's connected to the five obligatory prayers. There's a dhikr at other times, and he mentioned that the two of those times are the times in which there's no yani voluntary prayers legislated to be performed after them, that is after the Fajr and after the Asr. And he said that in these two times dhikr yani is legislated. It's from the Sunnah. It's very, very important to be engaged in the remembrance of Allah after the Fajr prayer until sunrise, and after the Asr prayer until sunset. And we also mentioned this last week, and he said that these two times, yani the time of the Fajr and the time of the Asr, are the best of the times of the day to be engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has mentioned in the Quran a number of ayats that show the excellence and the virtue of these times. And we mentioned some of those ayats last week, I mean the references for them. And he ended by the two references, one from Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 130th ayat, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا, that a person should be engaged in tasbih and praise of your Rabb before the rising of the sun, yani after Fajr until sunrise, and before its setting, yani the setting of the sun after Asr until sunset. And similar ayat in Surah 2, Qaf, the 50th Surah, 39th ayat. After this, and this is, I think where we stopped at last week, the Shaykh, he says, the best, أفضل ما فعل في هذين الوقتين من الذكر صلاة الفجر وصلاة العصر وهما أفضل الصلوات. يعني the best of what a person may do in these two times, these two important times. يعني after the time of Asr and the time of Fajr, the best of what may be done in these two times is the Salat that's legislated for that time. يعني the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer. And these are the best of the prayers of the Salawat. أفضل الصلوات. And it has been said concerning each of them. يعني some of the scholars said it is Fajr and some of the scholars said it is Asr, that they are As-salat al-wusta. Yani the scholars differed about this. Each of them, yani, has been attributed to it this description of as-salat al-wusta, that it is the middle prayer, yani the fajr or the asr. And both of them, it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he referred to them as al-bardan, yani the two prayers that are performed in the time of coolness of the day. And those two prayers, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man hafaza alayhima dakhala al-jannah." Yani the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer. Whoever is consistent in performing these prayers, in sticking to them, in adhering to them, performing them in their times and in the proper manner, yani with sincerity and khushu' and concentration on what is being said in the prayers and what is being done in the prayers, that is standing and bowing and sitting and prostrating and dhikr and dua and qira'atul Qur'an, whoever performs these prayers in their proper manner, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then they would enter the Jannah. They would enter the Jannah. And what follows these two times in terms of excellence and superiority for the dhikr of Allah is the night time. Yani after the Fajr time and the Asr time, yani what follows in terms of excellence is dhikr, remembering Allah in the night. And for this reason, Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, mentions, for this reason, it has been said that, we have been encouraged to engage in the yani dhikr of Allah. It has been mentioned in the Quran, engaging in the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night and the salat during the night. Yani meaning that this came, the engaging in dhikr of Allah and performing voluntary prayers in the night came second in excellence and superiority after the time of Fajr and after the time of Asr. And then Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, وَالذِكْرَ al-mutlaq يَدْخُلْ فِيهِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وتعلم يعني تعلمه يعني تعلم القرآن وتعليمه والعلم النافع كما يدخل فيه التصبيح والتكبير والتحليل. يعني الذكر المطلق as opposed to الذكر المقيد. يعني the ذكر المقيد is the ذكر that is restricted, that is limited to specific times or occasions. And المطلق يعني means a person remembers Allah at any time, on any occasion, not specific to a time or situation or any particular act. Al-Dhikr al-Mutlaq. Included in Al-Dhikr al-Mutlaq. And this is very important, that there's some dhikr yani that's not restricted to a particular time or a particular occasion. And he mentions some of the dhikr al-Muqayyid after this and in the end. He said that included in Al-Dhikr al-Mutlaq is prayer in general, recitation of the Qur'an, learning the Qur'an and teaching the Qur'an. Yani learning Qur'an is included under al-dhikr al-mutlaq. Is included as a part of, yani just, yani remembrance of Allah unrestrictedly. Learning Qur'an, as well as teaching the Qur'an, as well as beneficial knowledge. Yani teaching or learning knowledge that is of benefit. And of course, the most beneficial knowledge is the knowledge that will benefit you in your hereafter. Naam. And likewise, included in al-dhikr al-mutlaq, yani, is al-tasbih, wa-takbir, wa-tahleel, yani saying subhanallah and saying Allahu Akbar and saying La ilaha illallah. And all of this comes under the general remembrance of Allah, unrestricted remembrance of Allah that doesn't have any specific time or occasion. A person might engage in it at any time, at any time. And then he has some discussion here, yani, which I'm just going to summarize quickly. He said that some of our yani companions, meaning the scholars of our madhab, yani, differed about whether or not in these special times of dhikr, yani, after Fajr and after Asr and so on, whether in these special times of dhikr, it is better to recite the Qur'an or to engage in tasbih and takbir and tahleel and tahmeed. Yani, in other words, some of the scholars said that after the Fajr prayer until sunrise, it's better to be engaged in reciting the Qur'an than to be engaged in saying Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar and La ilaha illallah. And some scholars hold the other view, and apparently Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab, his view is that to be engaged in the dhikr of Allah, saying Subhanallah in those particular times is better than reciting Qur'an in those times. And this appears to be yani due to the fact that this dhikr of saying Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah and La ilaha illallah and Allahu Akbar and the other adhkar that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported authentically to have engaged in during these times, other than reciting the Quran, that this has been legislated for these times and therefore it's better, even though the Quran is better than them in the absolute sense, but in these specific times what is best is to be engaged in the dhikr that the Prophet ﷺ was engaged in specifically for these times, adhkar al-sabah and adhkar al-masa. Yani the words of remembrance that are reported authentically, and there are many in the little book that's called Hisn al-Muslim, The Fortress of the Muslim. There's probably more than 20 something adhkar that are authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ to be recited in these yani virtuous times, after the Fajr prayer and after the Asr prayer. After this, he says, "Wal adhkar wal ad'iyya al ma'athura 'an an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi as-sabah wal masaa kathira jiddan." Yani the words of remembrance and the supplications that have been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this time in the morning, sabah, and in the time of the evening, yani masaa, that they are very, very many. And as I mentioned, yani in that book, Hisn al-Muslim, yani for the adhkar sabah al-masa, there are more than 20 something adhkar authentically narrated from the Prophet that he has mentioned there, and there are more than those. And then he says, وَيَسْتَحِبُّ أَيْضًا إِحْيَاءُ مَا بَيْنَ الْإِشَاءِينِ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالذِّكْرِ. Yani that it is commendable, it is beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's praiseworthy also that a person be engaged, yani that they give life to engaging in salat and in dhikr between the two night prayers. Yani al-isha'aini. Al-isha'aini, he means by this the salatul maghrib and salatul isha. Salatul maghrib and salatul isha. Bain al-maghrib al-isha. And he has previously mentioned, he said the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, annahu nazala fi dhalika qawluhu ta'ala تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم. To the end of the ayat, yani he says that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع, yani that their sides have forsaken their beds or the place where they sleep. Their sides have forsaken their beds, meaning that they got out of the bed, they didn't sleep in that time in order to engage in the worship of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, or salat, and whatever. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Sajdah, 32nd Surah, 16th Ayah. He said it has previously been mentioned, the hadith of Anas, and it is reported in the tafsir of At-Tabari, rahimahullah, in number of narrations from the scholars, from amongst Sahaba and those who came after them, the various opinions as to what this ayah was revealed in reference to. And there's difference of opinion, and from amongst those who held that this ayat is in reference to the time between the Maghrib and Isha was Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And some others said that it means yani the night prayer, Qiyam, and their various opinions in the tafsir of Tabari. He mentions a long list of various views and who held them. In any case, here he's referring to the opinion of Anas because he's talking about this time between the Maghrib and Isha Salat. That's what he wants to bring attention to. And he said this is the view of Anas ibn Malik, that this ayat was revealed in reference to that, that the people, rather than sleeping in that time, they stayed awake and they engaged in the remembrance of Allah and in Salat and in worship, Ibadah. And then he says, connected to this, yani, a person might think between the Maghrib and Isha is not a long time. Nobody is sleeping between that time anyway. But that is, if you didn't consider that it is mustahab, yastahibbu ta'akhir al-Isha ila thuluth al-layl. If you didn't consider that it is mustahab that the Isha prayer be delayed until 1/3 of the night. Now if you consider that, then yes, perhaps people might be sleeping, waiting for the Isha prayer, if it's not going to be performed until 1/3 of the night. And it is authentically narrated that the Prophet, and he said that it has been indicated in a number of authentic hadith, and that this is the madhab of Imam Ahmed and other than him, that it is better to delay the Isha prayer until 1/3 of the night. And the narrations concerning this are many. From amongst them is the hadith of Abu Hurairah, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, لَوْلَا أَنَا شُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَخَّرْتُ صَلَاةَ الْإِشَاءِ إِلَىٰ ثُلُثِ اللَّيْلِ أَوْ نِصْفَ اللَّيْلِ. That if it wouldn't have been in hardship on my ummah, I would have delayed the Isha prayer until 1/3 of the night or 1/2 of the night. One of the scholars, yani As-Sindi, rahimahullah, he said that the meaning of here, 1/3 of the night or 1/2 of the night, it may mean, it may be that the narrator was in doubt. Did he say 1/3 of the night or did he say 1/2 of the night? Or it may be that no, in fact he did say, yani ila thuluthu layl aw nusfa layl, but meaning here, aw, meaning bell. Yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intended to say that if it would not have been a hardship on my ummah, I would have delayed the Isha prayer until 1/3 of the night. Rather, I would have delayed it until 1/2 of the night. So like now, yani, the Maghrib prayer is at around what time? Around 8:15. To make it easy to calculate, let's say 8 o'clock, and the Fajr prayer is around 4 o'clock, yani, to make it easy, right? So we say between Maghrib and Isha, the night is between Maghrib and Isha, that would be how many hours? 8 hours, right? So half of the night would be like midnight. So the Prophet ﷺ, of course the midnight would be different depending on the season in the year, right? It would be different depending on the seasons. But right now, because the Isha prayer may be late, the Maghrib prayer may be later and the Fajr prayer may be earlier or later and whatever. But right now, that would mean that the Prophet ﷺ is saying if it would not have been a hardship, I would have delayed the Isha prayer until midnight. So right now we're praying it like around 8 o'clock, a little after 8. It would be better to delay it until midnight. Now in that case, perhaps some people might sleep waiting for the Isha prayer, right? And then what he's saying here now makes more sense. Yani, it makes more sense that this time between the Maghrib and Isha, if it's delayed until its preferable time at midnight, half of the night, or right now it would be like midnight, until 1/2 of the night, if it was delayed until that time, then it is mustahab that a person be engaged in that period of time, not in sleeping, but rather in the dhikr of Allah and in some voluntary prayers. And this is so that this prayer, yani delaying it, the Isha prayer until the 1/3 of the night or 1/2 of the night, it is so that this prayer will be performed in its best time. And its best time is the end of its time. That's what he said. Yani hatta يُفْعَلْ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ فِي أَفْضَلْ وَقْتِهَا وَهُوَ آخِرُهُ. The best of his time is the end of his time, and the end of his time is half of the night. And this is a disputed issue, but in any case, that's what he said. This is not our fiqh class tonight. And that a person who's waiting for this prayer, yani to perform it in the jama'ah, yani in the first third of the night, that person should be engaged in salat, or in dhikr, or yani occupied, knowing consciously that they are waiting for the salat in the masjid. That they are waiting for the salat in the masjid. Yani whoever is waiting for this prayer, then they should occupy themselves with some form of dhikr of Allah, whether it is yani on the tongue or whether it's salat that is performed. After this, he says, Yani, just so that we are clear, because he's making a lot of points here, yani, that from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's extra remembrance of Allah above and beyond the obligatory dhikr, which is the five congregational prayers. From amongst this is the dhikr on the tongue that's connected to the five congregational prayers. And then there's the dhikr, yani, after the asr prayer until maghrib and after the fajr prayer until sunrise. And then there's also, yani, if the isha prayer is delayed until one half of the night or one third of the night, a person should be engaged in dhikr or salat also during that time. Then he says, ثُمَّ إِذَا صَلَّى الْعِشَاءَ صَلَّى بَعْدَهَا مَا يَطْبَعُهَا مِنْ سُنَّتِهَا الرَّاتِبَ أَوْ أَوْتَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ إِنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُوْتِرَ قَبْلَ النَّوْمِ. So if a person now performed the Isha prayer, and they also performed the sunan, ratiba, the sunan that are connected to the Isha prayer after it, that are performed after it, or they performed their witr prayer, that is, if they intended to perform the witr prayer before sleeping, yani for fear that maybe they wouldn't wake up, and instead of missing the witr prayer, then it's better to pray before sleeping than not to pray it at all. So if the person has performed the Isha prayer and the Sunnah prayers that are connected to it and the Witr prayer, if they're going to pray it before they sleep, he said, فَإِذَا أَوَى إِلَى فَرَاشِهِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لِلنَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْتَحِبُّ لَهُ أَنْ لَا يَنَامَ إِلَّا عَلَى طَهَارَةٍ وَذِكْرٍ. And this is a very important point here that Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah brings to our attention of great importance. And some of these affairs are more difficult than others, but indeed this is from the completeness and the perfection of the remembrance of Allah, and that a person be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah. If a person has performed the Isha prayer and whatever is connected to it, then they intended now to go to sleep. They went to their place of their bed, wherever they sleep, and they intend to sleep, then it is mustahab that that person should not sleep except in a state of tahara and upon the dhikr of Allah. Yani that before sleeping, a person should be in a state of tahara. Yani before going to sleep, you should make wudu. We should make wudu. And we should engage in some dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person stays up very late and becomes very tired before sleeping, they might find difficulty in going to make wudu before sleeping. Yani sometimes the human being will just, yani, find it easier to just fall down on their sleeping place and fall asleep. However, it is mustahab that a person not sleep until they purify themselves and engage in the dhikr of Allah. And in one of the many narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's reported by Al-Bukhari on the authority of Al-Bara ibn Azib, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person goes to their place of sleep, فَتَوَضَّعَ وُضُوءَكَ لِلصَّلَاةِ, and then that person, and then you perform wudu, like the wudu for salat. Yani meaning perform a complete and correct, yani, ablution, like the wudu that you make for salat. And then they supplicate to Allah. And in this narration he mentioned the supplication, Allahumma aslamtu wajhi ilayka wa fawwadtu amri ilayka, to the end of the supplication. Yani whoever did this, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِن مُتَّ مُتَّ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ, that if a person died, they would have died upon the fitrah. Yani if a person before sleeping made wudu and then supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they died in their sleep during that night, before the next day, they would have died upon the fitrah. And there are a lot of hadith concerning yani tahara before sleeping and the dhikr of Allah and dua. Naam. After this he says, so that the person should, yani tahara and dhikr, the person should say subhanallah and alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar and complete it, yani, as 100, yani, acts of remembrance of Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Fatima radiallahu anha and her husband Ali radiallahu anhu to do before going to sleep. Yani this is the hadith in which Fatima radiallahu anha, went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complaining that she wanted a khadim, she wanted a servant. A servant. She wanted somebody to serve her. Yani she was getting having a lot of work. She needed a servant. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, "Ala ukhbiruki ma huwa khayrun laki minhu?" Shall I not inform you of what will be better for you than that, than a servant? And that is that before you go to sleep, that you say Subhanallah 33 times and Alhamdulillah 33 times and Allahu Akbar 34 times, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And here, the Shaykh is using this incident, this one hadith, from amongst many, as a reminder to us of the importance of Dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala before sleeping. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that would be better for you than if Allah, than if you had a servant to serve you. Then he said, وَيَأْتِي بِمَا قَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَذْكَارِ الْوَارِدِ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عِنْدَ النَّوْمِ. At this point, the person should يعني, engage in the adhkar that have been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ for the time of sleep. Adhkar and Nawm. And in Hisni Muslim and in the books of adhkar, we'll find that there are numerous adhkar and Nawm that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite at the time of going to sleep. So that the person should what? Say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times, and then recite the adhkar and Nawm. وهي أنواع متعددة من تلاوة القرآن وذكر الله. And then he said, and these, the adhkar and Nawm is يعني متعددة. There are a number of them, and that includes recitation of the Quran and other يعني ذكر of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that which is يعني narrated authentically in Hassan Hadith, there are various narrations in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is a surah in the Quran that contains 33 ayat. And it would intercede for its companion, حَتَّى غُفِرَ لَهُ يَعْنِي تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. يعني that there is a surah in the Quran which contained 30 ayat, and if a person recited it, then it would intercede for them until that person would be forgiven. And he said it is Surah Al-Mulk, and this particular narration is Hasan, يعني, and it's reported from Abu Hurairah, and there are other narrations concerning Surah Al-Mulk, reciting it before sleeping, and then Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, ثُمَّ يَنَامْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And then the person should sleep on that. يعني, meaning after performing the prayers of the day and the night, and the sunnah prayers and the adhkar that are connected to them, and other than that, then when the person intends to sleep, still, يعني, they should what? Perform ablution and engage in the يعني, dhikr of Allah and the adhkar and nawm, and then sleep in that condition. May Allah help us. May Allah grant us the ability to يعني, take these practices of our Prophet ﷺ seriously and to strive and struggle. يعني, to make sincere intention and ask Allah's help. يعني, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika. يعني, oh Allah, help us to remember you, to engage in these adhkar of all types, the obligatory and the voluntary, of prayers and other than that, at all times of the day and the night. After this, the Shaykh al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya, he said, فَإِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَتَقَلَّبَ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ فَلْيَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ كُلَّ مَا تَقَلَّبَ. Yani if a person wakes up during the night, yani when a person wakes up during the night and they turn over in their bed, they should remember Allah with dhikr every time they turn over. Yani if a person wakes up during the night turning over, restless in their sleep or whatever, then they should engage in the dhikr of Allah every time they turn over, every time they became conscious just for a moment. At least say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, or something of dhikr of Allah. So that even during the night while a person is sleeping, if they wake up for a moment, they should engage in the dhikr of Allah. فَفِي صَحِيَ الْبُخَارِي عَنْ عِبَادَةً رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من تعار من الليل فقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك له الحمد هو على كل شيء قدير الحمد لله وسبحان الله and someone narrates سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And whoever woke up during the night And then they said, La ilaha illallah. Yani to the end of what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned here in this lengthy yani dhikr, whoever did this, ثم قال اللهم اغفر لي أو دعا استجيب فإن توضع وصلى قبلت صلاته. And whoever woke up during the night and recited this dhikr, and then they said, O Allah, forgive me, or they supplicated, it would be answered. They would be answered. If they said, O Allah, forgive me, or they supplicated with some supplication, it would be answered. So that if a person woke up in the night and they recited these words of Tawheed, and then they ask Allah's forgiveness, Allah will forgive them. If they supplicated, Allah would accept their supplication. He would respond to them. And if they performed ablution and then prayed, yani they went further than just saying the dhikr, but rather they performed ablution and performed yani a prayer of two rak'ah, whatever they prayed, then their prayer would be accepted. Yani it is as though the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the person who asks for forgiveness or supplicates in this time or performs prayer in this time, it would definitely be accepted. Naam, this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. So this is like important for us, yani that we don't just read these hadith and just pass over them, and we think that it sounds good, and we think perhaps we can yani try to do some of these things. Rather, we must do them. Yani we must make a firm resolve to do them and ask Allah's help. And whoever asks Allah's help, then never feel that you can't do something. Because if a person tries to do something with the help of Allah, yani we are able. We're able. But we have to be what? Eager to do it. We have to be diligent in doing it. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. Yani be yani diligent, eager in seeking that which benefits you, and ask Allah's help. And he try hard to do it, but ask Allah's help and don't feel helpless, incapable. With the help of Allah, we can do it. Allah has legislated this for us. Yani nafila, as something extra, it's not obligatory, but it is mustahab, it is commendable, it's praiseworthy. If a person does this, there's tremendous, tremendous, tremendous benefit and reward. Forgiveness of sins, acceptance of dua, acceptance of salah. Yani, how can we pass this by? May Allah grant us success in being able to do it. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Then Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he mentions some narrations of hadith about yani supplicating and things while the person is going to sleep or while they're waking from sleep and things like this. Those narrations all have some weakness. We'll pass them and go to where he says, وَثَبَتَ أَنَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ مِنْ مَنَامِهِ يَقُولُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَحْيَانِي بَعْدَمَا أَمَاتَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. That's how he narrated yani like that. And it has been also narrated in the plural. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. Yani, it is confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when he would wake up from his sleep, he would say, the praise belongs to Allah who has given me life after he has caused me to die, and to him is the nushur, the gathering. And this supplication is a tremendous supplication, and there's beautiful commentary from the scholars concerning it. Let us suffice to say that the Prophet ﷺ made us to know that sleep is like death. And that's why he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. Praise be to Allah who has given us life after he caused us to die. Meaning, he allowed us to awaken after we were sleeping. And this is a reminder to us of Allah's ability to bring us back to life after we actually die, to resurrect us. This is a reminder that every time a person wakes up and they recite this supplication, it's a reminder that one day we're going to die and one day we will be resurrected. That's a fact. It's a tremendous reminder. If a person is reminded of death and resurrection every time they woke from sleep, how would this affect their life and their yani behavior and their worship and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he said, ثُمَّ إِذَا قَامَ إِلَى الْوُضُوءِ وَالتَّهَجُّدْ أَتَى بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ عَلَى مَا وَرَدَ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, then if the person rose up, yani from their sleep, and they performed ablution and the tahajjud prayer, and then they did everything, all of what is connected to this as it has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani waking up in the night and making wudu and remembering Allah and performing salat and all of this, a person, if they did all of this, he said, وَيَخْتُمْ تَحَجُّدْ بِالْإِسْتِغْفَارْ فِي السَّهْرِ كَمَا مَدَحَ اللَّهُ الْمُسْتَغْرِفِينَ يعني بالأسهار. يعني then they seal all of this that they did, the acts of worship, the salat and the dhikr of Allah during the night, before sleeping, while waking up during the night and so on, that they would end it, yani in the ending, the last hours of the night before dawn, with engaging in istighfar. Engaging in istighfar. Naam. So this is also very important, yani that a person try to remember, if we are awake during the last hours of the night before dawn, that we occupy ourselves with seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah descends in the last third of the night, ila sama' ad-dunya. And one of the things that he said, that who will ask me for forgiveness so that I may forgive him. So this is a time, yani a virtuous time for asking for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last hours of the night. وَإِذَا طَلَعَ الْفَجَرِ صَلَّ رَكَعَتَيْ الْفَجَرِ ثُمَّ صَلَّ الْفَجَرِ. So if the dawn broke, yani at the break of dawn, then the person will pray رَكَعَتَيْ الْفَجَرِ, yani the two rak'ah sunnah of fajr. And we know that they are also virtues of performing these two rak'ah. From amongst them, the Prophet ﷺ said that these two rak'ah sunnah of fajr are better than the dunya wa ma fiha. Yani khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. That performing these two rak'ah sunnahs of fajr is better than the world and all of what is in it. So the person then performs the two rak'ah sunnah of fajr. And then they perform the fajr prayer, yani for the men in jama'ah in the masjid. وَاشْتَغَلَ بَعْدَ صَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ بِذِكْرُ الْمَأْثُورُ إِلَى أَنْ تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسِ عَلَى مَا تَقَدَّمَ ذِكْرُ. And then the person occupies themselves after the Salatul Fajr, the dawn prayer, with the dhikr that has been narrated, yani al-ma'thur, yani which came to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani up until the time of the rising of the sun, yani after the Fajr prayer until the rising of the sun, as has been mentioned previously, yani the adhkar as-sabah after Fajr prayer until sunrise. فَمَنْ كَانَ حَالُهُ عَلَى مَا ذَكَرْنَا لَمْ يَزَالْ لِسَانُهُ رَطْبًا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So whoever his condition is in accordance with what we have mentioned here, then that person is from those whose tongue will continuously be moistened with the remembrance of Allah. Meaning a person will be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. فَيُسْتَحَبُّ الذِّكْرَ فِي يَقَظَاتِهِ حَتَّى يَنَامَ عَلَيْهِ. Then he said, it is mustahab that a person, yani engage in the dhikr of Allah in his waking hours until he sleeps upon the dhikr of Allah. Yani now he's saying in general, that if a person, yani woke up and they prayed the sunnahs of fajr and the fajr prayer, and they remembered Allah, dhikr Allah, adhkar al-sabah until sunrise, and then, yani also, yani there's prayer, right? Yani that he mentioned previously, after sunrise until dhuhr, the salatul dhuha. And if a person remained in the masjid, engaged in the dhikr of Allah after the fajr prayer until sunrise, and prayed two rak'ah or four rak'ah, then they will get the reward of al-hajj wal-umrah, tamatan, tamatan, tamatan. Reward of hajj and umrah, completely. So a person should remain, yani constantly engaged in the dhikr of Allah until they sleep upon it. ثُمَّ يَبْدَعُ بِهِ عِنْدَ استيقاظه, And then again, they begin to remember Allah at the time when they wake up. وَذَلِكَ مِنْ دَلَائِلْ صِدْقَ الْمَحَبَّةِ كَمَا قَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ يعني, some of the poets, they had a line of poetry that he mentions here. Poetry, as you know, is not my thing. But in any case, yani, there's some poetry here. He said that yani, if a person wakes up, they should be engaged in remembrance of Allah during their waking hours until they sleep. And then, yani, when they wake up again, they should begin again with the dhikr of Allah. Yani, he's saying here what? That the last thing you do before sleeping is dhikr of Allah. And the first thing that you do upon waking is the dhikr of Allah. And that this is an indication. It's from the indications that prove صدق المحبة يعني that a person engaged in the remembrance of Allah, the last thing before sleeping and the first thing upon awaking is from the indications that a person is sincere in their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني this is a sign. يعني every one of us wants to claim that we love Allah. So from the signs of صدق المحبة يعني not the claim that's on the tongue but the truthfulness of really loving Allah is that a person is engaged in the remembrance of Allah until they sleep, and they engage in the remembrance of Allah upon awaking from sleep. Alhamdulillah. And then he mentioned poetry, yes. He mentioned poetry that, yani, the last thing that I do before sleeping is, yani, remembering you. And the first thing I do upon awaking is remembering you. Yani, a line of poetry that has that kind of meaning. Then Ibn Rajab closes, yani this chapter, he closes this chapter by saying, وَأَمَّا مَا يَفْعَلُهُ الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَنَا اللَّيْلِ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ مِنْ مَصَالِحِ دِينِهِ وَبَدَنِهِ وَدُنْيَاهُ فَعَامَةُ ذَلِكَ يُشْرَى ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Yani as far as what the human being does during the course of the night and at the ends of the day, yani at morning and evening, the both ends of the day, and meaning during the whole course of the day and the night, during the waking hours, from those things that are in the interest of their deen, their physical being, and their dunya. Yani the things that a person does in reference to the affairs of their deen, and the affairs of their dunya, and their physical well-being. From those things that a person may be engaged in, then generally these things all have legislated for them some form of remembrance of Allah upon them in everything that we do, whether it is from religious matters or worldly matters. Yani that all of them generally have some form of dhikrullah alayhi. So it is yushra, yani legislated in the sharia. Yushra lahu dhikru ismillah wa hamduhu ala aklihi wa shurbihi wa libasihi wa jima'ihi li ahlihi. Yani it is legislated that there is some form of remembrance of Allah and praising Him. Remembrance of Allah and praising Him. Yani when the person eats, when they drink, when they are dressing, and when they have relations with their spouse. And this one sentence requires yani lengthy discussion, right? To look at some of the supplications for eating and drinking and dressing and getting undressed and relations with one's marital yani companion, spouse, husband or wife. And it is also legislated, yani some form of dhikr of Allah and praise of Allah at the time of entering one's house and going out from the house and entering the bathroom and exiting from the bathroom and riding one's, yani riding, whatever, yani taba, right? Whether it is a bicycle or a horse or a car, naam. That is legislated at the time of entering your house and the time of exiting from your house. And again, from these matters, there are adhkar and dua that are of the utmost importance before entering the bathroom and coming out of the bathroom and riding, yani getting in a car or bus or train or plane or whatever, leaving your house. From the supplication of leaving your house, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, what? Bismillah. تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. He said that if a person says this, then it will be said, يعني هديت وكفيت ووقيت. يعني that you have been guided in your affairs, whatever you're going to do out of your house. And you have been sufficed in whatever you are in need of, that you are going out to attend to. And you have been protected from whatever evil or harm will come to you. And he said in one of the narrations, and the shaitan will withdraw from you. And one of the shaitan will say to another one, what can you do with a man, yani, who has been guided and sufficed and protected? Yani, shaitan will say to the shaitan who wanted to harm you, what can you do with this one who has been guided and who has been sufficed? How can we not, yani, take advantage of these at court? He said, it is also legislated that you mention the name of Allah over the animal that you are going to slaughter. And other than that. And it is legislated to praise Allah at the time when a person sneezes. And at the time of seeing the people who have been afflicted in deen or in dunya. Yani the people who have been afflicted in their deen. Yani through deviation or kufr or shirk or innovation. Or the people who have been afflicted in their dunya, yani in their worldly affairs, whether physically or otherwise, that it is legislated to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time, not to look down that person, but to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Him that He has, yani, saved you from such. And at the time of meeting with the other Muslims, and some of them asking one another about their condition, that you praise Allah on this occasion. And at the time when some ni'am came to you, some of the bounties or favors of Allah, or some niqam, some yani harm yani was repulsed from you, yani that a person what? That is legislated to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most complete and perfect is that you praise Allah whether in difficulty or yani at times when you have plenty and times when you have little, in times of difficulty or hardship and times of ease, that you praise Allah ala kulli hal. And it is legislated, and I'm watching the time, and we're going to finish today, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And it is legislated, lahu du'a Allah inda dukhul as-suq. It is legislated to supplicate to Allah at the time of entering the marketplace. May Allah help me, and you also, to remember Allah at the time of entering the marketplace. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever enters the marketplace and they said, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu al-mulk, lahu al-hamd. يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. That 1,000,000 of their sins will be removed. 1,000,000, that's 1,000,000. And 1,000,000 hasanat will be recorded for them in their record. That will be for them on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And they will be raised 1,000 degrees. And in another narration, he said, and a house will be built for them in Jannah. Yani whoever entered the marketplace, this is a hadith about which there's a lot of discussion, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih, and some scholars, yani, had difficulty with it because of the, yani, the matin, yani, what it is saying. It seems like it's too much, but Allah is al-ghani and al-mughni, and He gives freely, and He's not limited in the forgiveness of sins, or the multiplication of rewards, or raising of station or status of the believers. If a person enters the marketplace where people are engaged in buying and selling and lying and deception and just dunya, and they are engaged in the remembrance of Allah, then certainly this is a virtuous act which deserves, yani, a tremendous great reward. Yani, how often do we go into the marketplace and we didn't think about Allah? We're just thinking about what I came to buy and how I can find the best price and so on and so on, and we didn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah, yani, protect us from this. Naam. And then he said, also at the time of hearing the rooster during the night, yani at the break of dawn, or at the hearing of the thunder, yani when there's, yani thunder, at the time of the descent, yani when the rain falls, at the time when there are severe winds, at the time of seeing the new moon, at the time of the first fruits of the harvest, it is also legislated, yani all of these, yani here Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah is just mentioning some of the many things on which, and he's saying that generally whatever we are doing during our waking hours, whether it's matters of the dunya or the deen, yani that there's some legislation of the dhikr of Allah in all of these occasions. Yani these are the adhkar al-muqayyada that are, yani, tied to specific occasions or situations, yani in our daily activities. at the time of, yani it's also legislated to remember Allah and to make dua at the time when a disaster befalls you, or at the time of a calamity that befalls you. At the time, yani especially at the time of calamities, to remember Allah by saying what? At the time of a calamity befalls you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Or? Huh? Nothing else that you can say at the time of calamity? Think about it before we close tonight. Naam. Alhamdulillah, kulli hal. Other than that, طيب عند الخروج للسفر, at the time when a person is leaving to go on a journey, at the time when they are stopping over some place during a journey, at the time when they are returning from a journey, it is also legislated, yani, to seek refuge in Allah at the time of anger. And this is very important. Some of us have trouble, yani, with anger, ghadab. And the Prophet ﷺ has legislated for us, or Allah has legislated through the Prophet ﷺ, at the time of anger to seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. Instead of letting our anger just, yani, be loose, and then we act upon whatever came to our mind or our heart from shaitan at the time when we are angry, and then the person regrets later on. Some of the scholars said they don't know of any person who became angry and they allowed their anger, yani, to flow, except that they regretted later something that they said or that they did. And at the time of anger also, it's legislated that a person should be careful, should sit down. And if it subsided, alhamdulillah, if not, they should lay down. And it is also legislated authentically, or it's narrated authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person is anger, to... It's not, the hadith is not sahih about making wudu. But some scholars said, it is beneficial because it distracts the person from the anger, and perhaps going and making wudu may help, but the hadith is not sahih. And in any case, yani, this is from the times when it's legislated to remember Allah. As well, it is legislated at the time when a person sees something in their sleep that they dislike. Yani, a person has a dream of something that is not good, and the sunnah concerning this is detailed, it should be looked into. When a person, has a dream about something that is not good. And what is legislated concerning that? And also at the time of hearing, during the night, the barking of dogs, the braying of the donkeys. And then he closes by saying, and this is where we're going to stop, he closes by saying, it's legislated that a person perform istikhara at the time when they intend to do something which it has not become clear to them what is the best choice. Yani, salatul istikhara. And that is that a person perform two rak'ah, and then they, after performing those two rak'ah, recite the dua of istikhara. And if a person doesn't know that dua, then they can read it from a paper or from a book. And then he said, وَتَجِبُ التَّوْبَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ كُلِّهَا صَغِيرُهَا وَكَبِيرُهَا. And then he says, and he closes with this, that it is not legislated, he said it is obligatory that a person repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness from all of their sins, whether they are the lesser sins or the greater sins. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 135th ayat, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Yani that those who, when they did fahisha, yani the worst of sins, like illegal sexual relations, or they did some dhulm to their own self, yani committing other sins that are less than that, that's dhulm lin-nafs, then they remember Allah and they seek forgiveness for their sins. At-tawbah wal-istighfar. And then he closes by saying, وَمَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَزَلْ لِسَانُهُ رَطْبًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ أَحْوَالِهِ. That whoever sticks to this, yani to these things that have been mentioned, then that person will, yani, be from those whose tongue is moistened, yani constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah in every situation and circumstance. Now, قدر الله وما شاء فعل. جزاك الله خير يا وليد. Just in time to save us. قدر الله يعني when something happens, يعني that you dislike, يعني calamity or something, then it's also legislated to say قدر الله وما شاء فعل. Or قدر الله in some of the narrations, يعني as a noun as opposed to a verb, both of them are narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani meaning, it is the decree of Allah. And Allah has done whatever He wills. Yani whatever happened, it's the decree of Allah. And Allah does whatever He wills. This is also legislated at the time of a calamity. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself and for each of you that He help us to first and foremost, yani be consistent in performing the five obligatory prayers with the intention, yani, that are legislated for the remembrance of Allah. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ لِذِكْرِي, as Allah commanded us in the Quran, established the prayer for His remembrance. And then the voluntary adhkar, whether they are prayers or whether they are adhkar, whether they are connected to the five obligatory prayers or other than that, during the day and during the night, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in being able, yani, to fulfill all of these areas of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with consciousness while we are engaged in this dhikr, that we have consciousness of what we are saying, that we have some understanding of the meaning of what we are saying, and that we say these words yani believing in our heart in the truthfulness of what they entail. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success to be consciously engaged in His remembrance, knowing what we are saying and believing it in our hearts, so that it will affect our behavior, so that it will affect yani our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will affect our aqeedah, the way we believe in Allah, our heart being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will affect our behavior, our akhlaq and our adab yani with the people, our character and our manners, and it will also yani affect our da'wah and our ibadah. May Allah grant us success in all of that. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Yeah, and let us also not forget about yani joining the salat with the sadaqah, with the zakat. Now, the masjid is definitely always in need. Yani, as you know, we don't have Jumu'ah in this masjid. So, yani, this gathering tonight is an opportunity for us to yani, give something in a way of helping the masjid in its needs to take care of whatever is necessary to be done here, inshaAllah. Naam, barakallahu fikum. May Allah grant us success in the remaining days of Ramadan and that which follows. Naam. Okay, let me close. I got this microphone on, this recording and stuff. Imam Ibrahim is here? He's in the office? Okay, I don't know, I think he might have wanted to say something.